Ah, welcome, friends. Come on in. Mind the cabin, kids. They have settled up on the floor with all of their pillows and blankets. And, oh, that's Officer Nightingale's chair. The one next to it is free. Now, is everyone staying hydrated? Tea? Water? Coffee is not water, but I'll accept it. Though there better not be any milk in there. Okay, good. Awesome. Okay. All right, so Wayland comes back on deck after having passed Jory and Agnes. Oh, I read that part already. I'm sorry, my mistake. Let's see. He goes up to the captain. Captain tells Wayland what he saw. Here we are. The door closed on us. After Jesse said he needed to show Wayland something. Okay. All right. Comfy? Let's start that again, huh? Article 18. What plainly hides? The camera darts backwards from the closed door, and then up and through the very tiny hole specifically made for our beautiful mascot. We fly all around the cabin until we land in the rows in the center of the table. Our point of view shifts to watch tiny Luciana settle into the rows, nuzzling her beak underneath her wing and falling asleep.
Jesse closes the door and stands there for a moment before turning around. Oh, Wayland, can you take a seat for me?
Aye.
He goes over and pours them both a drink. Carefully.
Yep, I'm taking my time. Oh.
Do you want the bed instead?
No, seat. It's fine. The stitches are just very fresh.
All right.
Holy shit.
Jesse proceeds to hand Wayland a drink and takes a seat next to them.
All right. What's going on? Are you okay?
For right now, I'm okay. But I need a way to prepare myself for what's going to happen in the future.
All right.
I know I'm being relatively cryptic, but I have to do this delicately.
Okay.
There's a reason I don't take my gloves off, Wayland. I don't know if that's something you've noticed, but I lost a hand a while back.
Wayland looks to the gloved hand, and they're both fully articulate. Okay.
Jesse pulls off the glove in his left hand and places it on the table. And pulls the right glove off and also places it on the table. He sees a stump where Jesse's right hand should be.
Dylan lets out a heavy sigh. All right. Has his hands to his face and just puts his hands behind his head.
What? Before you say anything, I need to know if you trust me.
Of course, Jesse.
I kept something from the Magus Manifest. Partially because it wasn't mine to give. This glove, and he looks down at the stump on his hand, allows me full articulation, and apparently some sorcery. I pulled the storm that helped us escape from the Red Ghost.
The thunder? In the jungle of Makaro?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, things are starting to add up, at least.
I was able to do that with this. And he points. Glove. Without it, I don't have any sorceress capabilities, which is why I didn't bring it up, because it's not inherent.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not a little upset that you were hiding this, but I guess
it's an artifact. Jesse's expression drops slightly. A gift. Now, this is Evan to Wayland. Wayland would be familiar with the significance of the right hand. He does not see a brand.
There is a very good reason that Wayland is keeping his composure right now and fighting every urge to run in the opposite direction across the other side of the room from this thing. There's a very, very good reason for that.
You have full control over it.
I don't know.
I'm spending a danger point.
Oh no.
Jesse, how have you positioned the gloves?
Next to each other, left and right.
Wayland, I imagine you're looking at Jesse as you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the corner of your eagle eyes, you spot movement. Now, I mentioned that Luciana was asleep in the rose in the center of the table. She is now wide awake, and her eyes are fused to the gloves on the table. The left one is completely empty. There are a few folds here and there that make it look full, but there's definitely nothing in it other than air. The right one seems to have kept its form somewhat. There are a few empty bits closer to the edge of the glove and near the middle, but it seems to still look as though there's something inside of it. The camera takes a slow zoom to focus, and then the glove spasms.
Okay. Has ever done that before?
Jesse lifts it back up and puts it on occasion. As you watch glove return to his hand, it does go limp like glove would. But as he starts to put it over what would be his hand, you see what looks to be fingers stretching as if to fit into the edge of the glove. He puts on the other one.
Wayland is currently choking back the urge to vomit and has their fingers gripped as tight as they possibly can to their knees, to the point where it is probably causing some meniscus damage at some level.
As soon as he puts the gloves on, Luciana stops staring and goes back to sleep.
Wayland relaxes a little bit.
Oh, boy. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Does Mama Coco know?
You are the only one who knows.
Do you not want to tell anybody else because you're worried they wouldn't understand? Or because you're worried they'd be afraid?
Jesse slowly shakes his head. This needs to stay between us until I figure out exactly what it is. I'll explain more in the future, I promise. I just...
You can take your time. It's okay. Your secret is safe with me.
Yeah, and he finishes the rest of his drink.
I'm glad you told me about this.
You're one of the closest friends I've ever had, Wayland. And I trust you.
Trust you too, Jesse. I care about you. And yeah, you're one of my closest friends too. In due time.
Yeah.
Whatever you come to me with, I'll understand.
At that point, there is a knock on the captain's door.
One moment. He stands up, goes over and opens the door.
Wayland will finish his drink and stand up as well.
It's Mama Coco and Elliot.
Mama Coco looks very tired. Looks like she just woke up.
Good morning.
Good morning. This eager young... spirit.
I just wanted to let you know that we're coming up on the spot where we're supposed to join.
Jesse puts his finger on his lips.
Mm.
Shh. Slow words, Elliot. Mm. Slow words.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings his finger off his lips.
We are at the drop-off point.
Thank you for letting me know.
Uh-huh.
All right, Wayland, one more task and then you can go to bed.
All right, what do we need? What needs doing?
Hang tight. Jesse's going to go run below deck to the bilge.
Roz is on the steps. He appears to be sleeping on the railing, mouth wide open.
He slightly kicks him. Wake up, Roz.
Good morning, Capitano.
Good morning.
I was just resting my eyes.
Really?
I was keeping Ursa company.
We've arrived. On your feet, Roz.
Aye. He stands up a little shakily. Oh, why are the planks so cold all the time?
He scampers up the steps and immediately jumps into the ropes because he does not like his feet touching the planks.
Ursa.
You hear a scraping noise. She appears to be limping heavily as she's walking towards the stairs.
Oh no.
Ursa gets to the steps and is standing right in front of you.
Come on. Top deck.
Nazarissa is climbing the stairs. She's climbing very slowly, as if she's carrying extra weight.
Jesse's moving everybody out of the way. Make way.
Is Wayland there?
He just, like, carefully helps Wayland out of the way. Wayland, move. Come on.
Yep.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've reached our destination. I gotta get these to the bottom.
Ursa sits down heavily on the deck. Now you can see why she was limping. These two beings have wrapped around her arm and her leg. Like how children will hold on and be dragged. They have held on so tightly that you can see the impression of them through her big giant cloak. Oh, they really like you.
Ursa, can you move?
Ursa responds, but it's not in the form of a riddle. It's not in that pained, rasping growl you're familiar with. You hear her voice.
Not sure.
You okay?
The one arm that isn't clung to by one of the soulless ones reaches up, and instead of those large black claws, we see a normal hand. It's still large, but entirely normal. And it pulls back her hood to reveal her face.
Oh.
Everything about Ursa is large. This includes her face. It's wide and broad. Her dark crimson eyes are shadowed slightly by her large brow. Her nose is large, but not comically so. Her cheekbones are enormous. Her lips are huge and full and slightly darker than the rest of her skin. And there are fangs, not unlike small tusks, slightly jutting out from her lower jaw on either side of her lips. And her skin is dark, not in the sense that she has been in the sun for most of her life, but in the way in which someone lives in a cave or perhaps underground. As the camera zooms away from Ursa's face, we almost catch a glimpse of a deep purple hue in her skin.
Ursa.
She slowly lowers her gaze to look down at Jesse.
Not sure.
What is happening right now?
There's no pain on her face or in her eyes. She doesn't appear to be in distress. In fact, she appears to be calm. Unnervingly calm.
I want to check something. What can go up a chimney down, but can't go down a chimney up?
Ursa's gaze shifts slowly. Her head tilts to look at Wayland. She blinks once, then twice, and then the one shoulder that she can move freely shrugs.
Not sure.
An umbrella. Okay, now I'm worried. Roz.
When the camera turns to look at Roz, we notice that he's standing on the deck with a rope in his hand, as if he had come down from the rigging. His eyes are locked on Ursa. His stare is intense. And every once in a while, we see the flash of his eyes dart, as if he's studying what's happening. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't move. It's almost as if he stopped breathing.
Roz.
Roz does not seem to hear the captain. He takes slow steps towards Ursa and stops in front of her. She blinks and looks slowly down at him, and a very slow smile pulls the edges of her lips.
Hola, me lose.
Roz smiles as well, but his stare is no less intense.
Привет, моя Уна.
While Roz and Ursa appear to be having a conversation, each in each other's own native language, the camera slowly pans away, and as Elliot comes into view, it focuses on him, and he is violently scouring his tomes, trying to find answers. Captain, I can't exactly tell what's wrong, but... And he slams the tome close. But I think I know, okay? I have a hunch, an inkling, a hypothesis, a theory.
Spit it out, boy.
Yes, okay, sorry. Those things are cursed, right?
Hey.
Isn't she cursed?
Are you thinking they're canceling each other out?
Not so much canceling each other out, more like siphoning? I'm not quite sure what's happening, but it appears that they're slowly draining her.
Oh, okay. But with what you were saying before...
Yes, what I said before was that they won't stop until they find a soul. Well, they found a soul. Both of them did. They're holding on and they're draining her. And I don't know if they're actually draining her soul out or if they're draining the curse part of her soul or the curse itself. I'm not quite sure what's happening here.
Okay, yeah, no. If it's taking the curse part of her soul, then it's taking part of her soul.
I'll spend a hero point to try and do something. I don't fucking know.
Roz is standing right there. You can spend a hero point for part of the ship, part of the crew, and Roz will deal with it.
Yeah, 100%.
Roz's head snaps over to Elliot. What did you say? They're taking part of her soul. And before Elliot can finish speaking, there is a bright blue-green glow from underneath Roz's shirt, and it flashes in his eyes. He says a single word in harsh Castilian and grabs the one holding her arm. As he begins to open its grip, we can hear a crackling noise. And all around Roz's arms, we see this ethereal, ghost-like visage of crab claws. And then he moves to the one on her leg and just pulls it right off, tossing both of them aside as if they were crumpled paper. The moment the second one is removed, Ursa gasps deeply as if she's been held underwater for too long. Thick black fur grows rapidly down out through her hair, around her cheeks, under her chin, as the curse comes back with a vengeance. And she roars in pain as the sunlight touches her skin and burns her, as if the light is scalding water. Roz is quick to grab her hood and throw it over her head. His head and his hands disappear beneath the hood as he tries to talk to her through her pain.
Miamor? Ursa? It's all right. I've got you. I'm here. Do you remember what I told you? I am broken when I am not held.
We watch as Roz visibly relaxes, almost collapsing into Ursa, and all seems well once more. When the camera looks back at the two soulless ones, they are holding on to each other, and Elliot is staring down at them. In awe.
Oh.
We're stealing part of her soul.
Do you think they got something or kept something?
I don't know without further research, but what if it grabs something without a cursed soul?
Jesse walks over. Let's not wait to find out. Keep your eyes on them.
Waylon's eyes locked.
You lift them up and gently toss them over the side, and they fall into the water. And if you all blink, you can see that they are reaching up. They sink deeper, deeper, and deeper until they disappear.
Waylon holds a hand over his heart. I wish I knew your names.
The entire deck is quiet.
Is he sitting on the railing with one leg off, just looking down? Thank you. Everyone.
Mama Coco leans over and pats both of you on the shoulder. The waves have them now. And after a moment of silence, everyone goes back to work, save for Roz and Ursa, and Elliot, who is fixed to the railing.
Sorry you didn't have more time to study him, Elliot.
You always wish you had more time, but I don't think more time would have helped.
I don't think there's anything helping that crew.
I was lucky that Miss Ursa let me come down and sit with her. I wish I realized what they were doing to her sooner. As Jesse once told me, I need to be more present. And I hope to be better about that.
We look over his shoulder and the camera focuses briefly to watch Roz escort Ursa back downstairs.
I have to be better about that. Thanks to Ursa, I had all night.
And as Elliot adjusts his glasses up onto the bridge of his nose once more, we can see the deep, dark circles under his eyes.
And besides, I never stress about the amount of time that I have. What matters is what I decide to do with it. And so every waking moment I have is a gift. and I covet it as pirates would covet gold, I guess.
Oh, boy, oh. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh. Elliot.
Hmm? Sorry. Yes?
Off to bed with you.
He opens his mouth to brook an argument.
That's an order.
Sir?
Captain.
Captain. Yes.
I want you to leave those books in my quarters.
I will only do so if you promise to wake me when we get there. I don't want to miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Very well. Good morning? No. Good night? Elliot gives an awkward bow. Good day. And then hurries himself down below decks.
As soon as Elliot's gone, Waylon just collapses into the railing. Did you get that flag, by the way?
He opens his coat, and he's got the flag wrapped up. Hands it over. Is that important to you?
Aye. I know someone who ought to have this. Thank you, Captain.
Yes, he nods. Go on, get to bed.
As Waylon goes to bed, he sits on his bed for a long while, holding the flag and looking at the colors of the maelstrom. And he starts crying. He wraps it up and kind of holds it to him and cries himself to sleep.
Jesse got his hat off, got it on his chest, got his legs crossed. He takes a deep sigh and he falls asleep on the bow.
And the camera falls seemingly out of Jesse's lap into the ocean. And it sinks rapidly, down and down and down, until we catch up with the soulless ones. They move in a desperate waltz within the water, within each other's arms, always reaching for the surface, never able to touch it, until they finally hit the bottom. The sand on the seabed settles as they do. They hide their faces in their hands, and then everything cuts to black. We slowly fade from black onto a familiar face. It is Jesse's. There are loud slashing noises, the snap of a line, and then some muttered Haragwan swearing.
Good
morning, Mama Coco.
Good morning.
Did you get anything good yet?
Got some sunnas and some eels for boots.
I'm so glad, because I was trying to catch some Z's.
Well, at least one of us caught something big today. And maybe if I didn't have to babysit your ass, probably would have caught that.
I was fine.
Of course you were. Old Mama was watching ya.
Cracks his back. How we looking?
That entirely depends on your point of view. From where we're sitting, I would say we don't need to worry about nothing. We got calm waves. The wind is fair. We got a god pushing us from underneath. Raz tells me that Ursa is fine now. Hawthorne tells me that the helm is fixed. And Charles tells me that we've been circling the same islands for 2 hours now.
As he stumbles down the bow and sits up, appears above the railing with an open spyglass. Have few, if any, eyes ever been set on this island before?
These islands that you're circling right now have been seen many, many times by a lot of people.
Okay. Jesse runs off to the helm and he's got his map out, pulls out his compass. Where are we?
You are just south of the X. You're in that little inlet there. And when you look at where the coordinates are leading, there's just open ocean. You can see the other island on the other side.
Mm-hmm. At the helm, Jesse starts turning the ship northward. Once the ship is facing north, he steps off to the side with the heart of matters up to his eye. I've really got to refine this into like its own spyglass or pair of glasses or something. I don't know.
As the camera changes tint to show that we are also looking through the heart of matters, we see a large island in the middle of nowhere.
Jesse informs pretty much everybody around him and then does the same thing that he did with Agnes. He hops down onto the ropes on the side of the ship. Makaro!
The ship stops because Makaro has lifted his head up enough so that one of his ears is sticking up out of the water.
We're getting close. Raz, get us a bit of wind.
Ay, Capitano!
Makaro's ear vanishes beneath the water once more. There's a satisfied rumbling that only those on the ship can hear. And then La Rosa Blanca bobs in the water a bit, as though it was dropped at the depth it's actually supposed to be floating at. The camera, still with that slightly pink hue, pans away to watch the shape of Makaro beneath the ship vanish into the depths. And then it lifts up so that we can see the island. Now, for those listening, I have made a map that the boys are looking at right now. This map will be available to view under the category Podcast Crew Stuff in the channel Behind the Desk, for those interested in seeing it for yourselves. However, I will describe it to you in the barest terms now. It is in the shape of a triple moon, with a full in the center and two crescents facing outward on each side. There appears to be a large mountain in the center, as well as ragged cliffs all around the edge. And within the small archipelago it is hiding in, we can now see tiny sandbars all around it, almost as if it's a minefield or a barricade protecting this island.
Oh, what?
By the way, Jesse, you can go ahead and take a hero point, because few, if any, have ever seen this island.
There it goes.
Hell yeah.
Now, I would like to introduce a dramatic sequence, but not just any dramatic sequence, a world-building dramatic sequence.
Oh!
Your goal is to make it safely to the Hidden Island and find more clues about Sedona. You're going to tell me your approach, keep in mind the whole scene, and this is what you can spend raises on, because there are no consequences or opportunities inherent in a dramatic sequence. You can spend a raise to establish a fact about the location, and that includes these surrounding islands as well. You can spend a raise to declare a detail. You can spend a raise to find a clue, and you can spend a hero point to establish something otherworldly about a fact, detail, or clue. So you can make it magical or mystical or Cyrenith or whatever. And everything that you establish will be canon once the sequence is over. You cannot spend a raise and tell me you find Sedona, because that involves someone's story. I'm not going to take that away from them. And you cannot spend a raise to establish a deus ex machina or an apocalyptic fact, detail, or clue. I have already established in the canon that this island and everything around it that you see in this brand new map cannot be seen without the Heart of Matters, or unless you're a divine being.
Theoretically, if we're stepping on the island, it would look like we're just stepping on air.
No. You would disappear the moment you hit these sandbars.
Interesting.
So yeah, how are you approaching this entire thing? Not just getting to the island. Remember that we're world building together. Jesse and Wayland are a part of it, but Evan and Patrick are a part of it too.
Well, your boy is sailing. He's the one that's going to be navigating everybody through. I need to make sure we get there in a piece. Just one.
Singular.
A single piece.
Yep. So I'm doing finesse and sailing.
Cool.
I am completely forgetting what panache means, like I always do.
That's definitely not charisma.
Got you. I think I might be going with finesse and notice on this. As Jesse is at the helm, you know, maneuvering the ship, I think Wayland is probably up in the crow's nest, keeping an eye out for all of the minute details, any shift in depth that we might be looking forward as we're trying to avoid the sandbars and making our way through the puzzle.
Also, finesse and notice for actually when you land on the island, you're looking around for stuff, your head is on a swivel.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. You've told me what your approach is. Take your two for flair. We're going to be gathering dice now. There are no consequences or opportunities inherent in a dramatic sequence. as I've established before, a dramatic sequence is more for the narrative. So we're all kind of building this together. And I've tailored this so that it's specifically for world building. We don't know anything about this island at all. So I want you guys to help me build this island together and its surrounding area and anything that may be inherent to it or cool about it or secretive or what have you. Because as much fun as it is for me to do it, it's way more fun when we all do it together.
So I believe I have 10 dice and one automatic raise because of the Aragustan ship background.
Mm-hmm.
3 for finesse, 3 for sailing, 2 for flair, 1 for wheelman, and 1 for sea legs.
3 for notice, 4 for finesse, and then 2 for flair. And we have sea legs, and then an automatic raise.
I will also remind you of Round the Horn in case your pools are garbage. You can reroll any number of dice. And your charter. There are 5 extra dice in that pool that you can take from. And you don't have to take it now. You can take it after you roll.
Oh.
Ready?
I believe so. Do you guys want to spend hero points to help each other or yourselves?
Wayland, go fuck himself. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking.
Jesse, I believe you started with 2 because you have Valiant Spirit.
Yep.
And Wayland, you started with 1, but then you got 2 from your hubris.
And then I spent 2.
You spent 2?
I spent 1 to fix the ship and 1 for part of the ship, part of the crew.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, mine's going to be super simple. I'm going to spend a hero point, and for going, Jesse's going to be like, oh shit. Hey, Wayland. Heart of Matters grenade throw up to the crow's nest.
Ha! Why would you? Oh God. Just hand it to me next time.
Well, I forgot.
Fair enough.
Sorry. I thought it would be funny if I did that.
It was very funny, and I almost had to replace my heart with the Heart of Matters because it would have fucking died.
So take 3 extra dice, Wayland.
Aye, aye.
And do you want to spend your hero point to help Jesse?
I'm going to hang on to it for now because I think I'm going to use it to help you later when we're figuring stuff out because we can spend a hero point to establish something otherworldly.
Cool beans.
Jesse, if you want to just take 3 extra dice out of the luck pool, you can do that too.
Do you want to roll first and see what we got?
Yeah,
he wants to roll. He's been rolling his dice. Roll the bones!
Rolling time. Let's
take a chance. Roll the bones.
Remember, you're making sets of 10.
I have so many 7s and 3s.
I have a lot of 6s and 4s.
Oh, we love that!
Shit!
You guys are rolling straight fire today.
Hmm.
So, how many raises you got?
7 raises and 2 left over. You know what? I'm going to re-roll 1.
Oh, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah, don't forget your re-roll.
I got a 10!
Nice!
I did it!
We love that.
I didn't, but I still got something that helped.
Awesome.
Well, now I have 8.
Fantastic. Jesse?
I have 7.
No remainders?
I have 3 tens, 7 3, 7 3, 7 3, 8 and 4. I had an 8 and 1, but I rerolled the 1 and got a 4.
Damn.
Nice.
Anybody want to take from the luck pool right now?
I'm happy with 8, and I had the 1 remainder.
Well, you could have taken a couple points out to roll a couple d10s to see if you get a match to get rid of that extra.
Yeah, I'll take 1.
Yeah, take an extra out.
I'll take an extra. I'll see what we got.
We'll have 4 points in the pool.
Ah, I still have 1 left over, but I rolled a 10, so that's 9.
Can he continue to pull points out?
He can keep going until he runs out.
Do it. I don't plan on using them.
Fuck it. A 9 and a 4.
Hell yeah.
So that's 10 raises, none left over.
Big fan of that.
All right, so now the pool is 3, correct?
Yep, pool is 3.
That is entirely fair.
Okay. Got 10 raises. Wayland and Jesse has 7. There is no initiative order, so go fucking ham.
Elliot is just fucking going ham, sketching everything out in a minor panic attack.
He's just going nuts. Roz has actually tied a lifeline around him because he's so excited that he's leaning all the way over the railing to get all of the details.
The immediate thing at the top of my head, on the outskirts of all of these islands, shipwrecks everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There's just splintered hulls and masts. all sorts of different ships, too. There are some ATC ships. There are some pirate ships. Probably some well-known pirate ships. Probably even some trading vessels from Thea. Hundreds and hundreds of shattered, splintered ships from all over the place. Skeletons everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to add that they had to get through the Kraken in order to get to this place. So the Kraken had already torn up the ship to begin with. There's nothing to salvage off of these ships.
I think we just discovered the not Bermuda Triangle.
Oh.
So you spent a raise to establish that. That's wonderful. I love it.
Yes, one raise for that.
I kind of want to use my hero point already because I have an idea.
Oh, dear God.
If it doesn't have any power anymore, can I still establish something Cyrnith?
Sure.
I want to spend a raise to say that there were Cyrnith flying vessels just to establish that that was a thing at one point in the world.
So what you're saying to me, it sounds like there are ships that look like they have fins or sails on the side?
Yes. The wings and everything are broken and shattered, but it was definitely meant to be in the air.
They're all useless.
I thought it would be cool.
Jesse, you're doing your best to avoid scraping the ship against these skeletons of other ships. Anything else? Remember, it doesn't just have to be the sandbar. It can be about the island. It can be about the ocean itself. It can be about the area. Think about the whole thing, not just what you're doing right now.
Absolutely. What else can we say about this island?
Let's see.
Where the crescents are two giant craters. Almost like the rings of Saturn were created by debris. The shoals were debris that had fallen from these two giant meteor impacts.
Blown everything apart. Okay. So with that, you're also establishing that all of these connecting islands were all one big island at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of created these lagoons, like these deep, deep lagoons.
Yes. I will spend a race. As we're trying to navigate, Wayland sees where one of those dirigible ships had crashed and had carved deep into the sandbar where we can get through easier.
You make your way out of the sandbars and you're in that open water circling the island now.
I'm spending a hero point. Once we breach the initial sandbars, the sun disappears and there is green and pink and blue and orange, aurora borealis, and stars that just blanket the sky.
Oh, I love it.
It is perpetual twilight in this area.
Fucking done. As you get closer, you can now start to see that on the crescents, there are just huge cliff sides.
I'm going to spend a raise to say that on the other side, a darkened, dead forest with creatures of some kind sprawling through it, but it's like dead trees and swamp.
I'm going to spend a raise. There are three docks. There is one in each inlet of the crescent moons that sentinel each side of the island, and there is a third one dead ahead.
Ooh. The dock dead ahead of you is at the base of a gigantic cliff. When you dock, Roz jumps down and starts tying everything off because ropes is his job. You cannot see the top of the island, how sheer that cliff face is.
From the docks, looking up at the cliff, there's a ring of fog that surrounds the top of the cliff. And once you get up through that layer of clouds, there is sunlight. Up top, it would be regular day and night cycles. And then when night comes around, that's when the aurora borealis come out. But like down below is where things are like spookiest.
Almost as if it's meant to disorient you.
Yep.
Can I spend a raise to say there is a winding either ladder or staircase that zigzags up the cliff face?
Staircase. I was just about to do that.
With railings.
Yes.
They're natural railings, almost as if water has been funneled a certain path through the rock face. So it's like a channel.
Evan, do you have anything in mind?
Dude, I have so much shit going on. I can't even figure out how to place all of it.
I'm going to spend a raise to make a clue.
Okay.
And there are honeysuckle plants coming down this cliff face. And there are hummingbirds everywhere that are all flitting about.
Normal hummingbirds?
Normal hummingbirds. But hummingbirds, specifically. All kinds.
You hear the chirps of maybe hundreds of hummingbirds. But they don't sound cacophonous. And so as all of these hummingbirds are just existing in this veritable paradise, plenty of food and plenty of places to sleep with no natural predators anywhere, they are all singing. And Luciana looks as if she wants to join them. She is happily bouncing on Jesse's hat and singing back to them. As you guys get to the top of this cliffside...
I'm going to spend two raises.
Okay.
You go through like a super thick layer of cloud. Then everything clears up and you can see down below.
Yeah.
When you look down along the coast of this island are massive skeletons of some leviathan.
Is it a clear sea creature? Like, are there fin bones and things like that?
It's probably a very, very old, very deep sea creature. And it's half covered in sand. It's like in the beginning of New Hope. You see the skeleton of the Krayt Dragon.
Hey, Evan, are there any defense systems on the island?
Automated turret system.
No.
Go, 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 go.
No.
Okay.
I would like to spend a raise. Now that we're high up, we can see interspersed, hidden from initial view, overgrown cannons all along the coastline.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
That would make sense why there are no kind of artillery on any of the ships at the shipwrecks. Perhaps maybe the denizens of this island may have scavenged them.
Right.
I am going to establish a detail.
Okay.
There is very tall grass, about waist height. And it looks as though some of this grass has been systematically cut and rolled into hay bales. Now, they're green. They haven't quite turned to hay yet. But there are clear signs of agriculture here.
How big is this island?
It would take a good half day to walk from one side to the other if it was a straight path. Off in the distance, you can see a very large mountain in the center of this island. There are trees on either side. At the base of that mountain, there is some kind of lake. There's a huge river that runs from that lake that cuts the cliffside on your left. And on the right, the cliffside kind of tapers into more trees. And these trees are oaks, they are birches, they are some willow trees down near the base of the river. There are pine trees, there are palm trees.
Spending a raise, the field that we walk through at first is grass, but it immediately turns into a big fuck-off meadow of flowers. Every color imaginable are here. From eye to eye, it starts off as scattered patches, but then it becomes thick and full, almost as if it looks like someone is either planting them or they are just growing outwards and they're reaching out.
Beautiful.
Are there flowers from everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Every imaginable flower is growing here.
Impossibly.
What's the Avalonian flower?
The national flower of England is the rose, but not just any rose. Tudor rose was adopted by Henry VII, England's emblem of peace, the end of the War of the Roses.
Call them Elaine roses instead of Tudor roses.
Yeah. Yes. Wayland will pick a couple and put it in his straw hat.
To add to that, there are tiny mountain flowers that are cascading the mountain face. And the only way that these could actually grow is if it was cold. And yet they're thriving. there are an ungodly amount of roses on this mountain.
I'll spend another raise. There are elk and deer and antelope.
Antelope? Mm-hmm. Oh, damn.
A couple of moose.
Are they overpopulated or is there something keeping it in check?
No, I imagine there's probably like...
There's a bear.
There's a bear.
There are bears.
There are bears.
I'll spend that raise. I'll spend a raise to say there are bears. The bears are unusually colored. They're almost like polar bears, but they've got these like vague crescent moon symbols.
Oh, okay. Over in the grove of trees there, you thought it was Ursa over there for a second, but it is actually a bear and her cubs.
Zoe, I'm going to spend a hero point in the meadow. There is a full, almost intact ship that is just fully overgrown. And it looks like it's been there for ages.
It is a ship that has not been seen in the Adipian for a very long time. An almost forgotten about name.
Right, exactly. Can we just name the ship? Is that okay?
Yeah, because hi, I'm playing too.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm going to name the ship.
As Wayland and Jesse walk by this ship jutting out of seemingly the meadow, the camera zooms in to see some letters written across her hull. S-O-U-L-A-C-E.
Solus, yes.
Oh, oh no.
How many raises do you have?
I have two left.
Okay. I have an idea for a raise, but I want you to spend those two first.
Can I spend a raise to find a clue?
Sure.
All right. Along with the signs of agriculture, there is a clear pathway leading to a farm.
There's a farm and a little cottage.
And as you're getting closer to this cottage, there is a fountain. We all know what I'm alluding to.
Yeah.
I'll even establish that there's a water house at the base where the lake empties into the river. They have literally everything that one would need to survive and subsist.
I would like to spend a raise.
Your last raise, mind you.
Yeah. There are two flags hanging from a pole at the cottage, and they are both incredibly tattered. Wild rose. ATC flag underneath.
Okay.
I'm going to spend my last raise. It is late in the afternoon. And in the window of the cottage, small oil lamp burst of light and the shadow of a moving figure.
Okay.
All right, everyone, it's time to go. The other way, it's time to go home. It's been quite nice.
Pretty sure we found her. Now it's time to turn around. All right, good to know. She's alive. Then
she's alive.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Wow. I have never seen anything like this before.
Wayland looks at Jesse and grips his shoulder and squeezes it and lets go.
Do you guys go up to the door?
Yeah.
The camera is now positioned behind Jesse and Wayland, slightly above them so that we can get a good view of the door. They knock, and from beyond it, a soft, airy voice calls.
One moment.
Then there is the muffled rustle of pages, as well as soft footsteps. Then, the door is opened by a small, mousy-looking woman. Her sea-green eyes peek above gold-rimmed, rose-tinted spectacles as she squints at the people at her door. In the late afternoon sun, her bronze skin seems to glisten faintly with hints of gold. As she studies the two people, a messy bunch of brown wavy curls falls from behind her ear, and as she leans up to get a better look at them, she pushes them back into place, pinning them behind the curled end of her glasses. She holds a small book very close to her chest, while the other hand is busy dusting off the half apron, and then adjusting the knit wool shawl around her shoulders.
Hello?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm afraid I'm very busy right now. Did Rook send you?
No. We're not here on ATC business.
Then what are you here for?
The curious look in her eyes switches to caution, concern, as she takes a slight step back away from the door.
It's personal.
I see. Then how may I help you?
I'm looking for Sedona Nakansa.
Who is asking?
My name is Jesse Nakansa.
The woman looks Jesse up and down very slowly, as though she is checking for weapons or malicious intent. And then her eyes linger over on Wayland, doing much the same sort of studying, using only her eyes. Wayland, would you like to use the Heart of Matters right now?
I'll use it, yeah.
As the camera changes to that pink shade and we view the world through Wayland's eyes, we no longer see a mousy-looking woman.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Oh, no. Fuck.
The first thing we notice is that the book that the woman is holding close to her chest is, in fact, a loaded gun. And as the camera pans away from Wayland, we notice that it's pointed directly in between their eyes. And the woman's finger is on the trigger, waiting.
Captain Nakansa.
Jesse turns to Wayland. Yeah.
Wayland's not looking at you. Wayland's looking dead ahead.
He now sees that Wayland is holding it out and takes it. Jesse brings it up.
Jesse, the woman that you see now through the Heart of Matters is old, close to 60s. Her brown hair is no longer thick and curly, but velvet and black, with salt and silver woven in. She isn't small anymore either, and though she stands at a good 6 feet, she is slightly hunched with age. There are crow's feet beneath those burnt amber eyes. There are frown lines etched into her brow, and smile lines too.
Mom?
Those smile lines that you remember, the ones that you saw nearly 25 years ago, return and brighten her face.
Jesse is in full disbelief of what he sees before him. He's been fishing for answers for someone else to also believe that she was still around, but constantly and consistently was fully convinced that no matter what anyone else had said, she was totally gone. All of his belief in the thought of her not being around and not being alive dissolves. For 24 years, based on who he's asked and what sort of responses he's gotten, he thought she was dead. Is it really you?
What does your heart say, mijo?
And so now, in this moment, he was wrong. Hi, Mom.
Hola, Jesse. Welcome home.
I know it. I do. Trust me when I say that they were also as upset with me as you are now. I had to leave that session off on that cliffhanger with them. Oh yes, I do it to my players too. More viciously, in fact. Nearly every episode is a cliffhanger for them. So yes, they have found Sedona. But that's not the end of the story. This might answer one question, but I'm sure it raises many more. I'll be able to shed a little bit more light on it next time. We will see you then, friend. And remember, be safe and well.